Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome to the Pride of Detroit PODcast, prideofdetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube. It gets longer every day. We're making this a quick one here. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday if you're listening the day after, or if you're watching live on Twitch, happy Thanksgiving. I'm Christopher Fett, the adequate host at Christopher Fett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T. And joining me, as are always, Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online. Jeremy, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone listening, watching, and across America.
So we're going to make this a quick one today because, and I mean, quick for us sometimes means like 40 minutes. So I wish I could say quick, but, you know, compared to what we usually do. Either way, though, we want to wrap up this bird and stuff it and shove it in the oven before anything else big comes down the pike, mostly because like a lot of us have plans for Thanksgiving, even though we don't have, you know, families and everything. We do kind of have, I at least have places. We have to work tonight. But so let's talk about the Lions real quick before we get to the elephant in the room, which might change before we even get this podcast out the door. It might actually happen while we're on the air, which if it does happen, absolutely nothing will change. We do it live. Jeremy, the Lions suck. Spoiler alert, this game sucked bad. The Texans are now the second team this year to put up over 40 points on the Detroit Lions. Touchdown, once again, Lions completely lost. This time around, a lot of turnovers is the new and exciting development here. As I believe, how many do we have back-to-back fumbles start this game, I remember?
The pick six came first.
Pick six, that was it. And then I believe, who was it? It was
Jonathan Williams had the first
Williams
fumble.
And then it was Kerryon Johnson who fumbled a little later. Yep. So this did not go well.
It was kind of an interesting game, though, because the Lions actually came out and looked like the better team in the first half, if I'm being completely honest. Like, their offense was moving pretty well. Their defense was getting stops early on. It was just, I mean, the story of the first half was the turnovers. The Lions were in that game.
I'll give you the first.
And they probably would have been winning. Here's the thing. Without those turnovers, I think this game looks like just about every other game. The Lions come out, they look really good at the beginning of the game. Maybe they jump out to a 14-0 lead, a 17-0 lead. But what happened in the second half is exactly what we've seen in every single second half. The defense implodes, the offense stalls, same old story, same old Lions, whatever you want to say. This was just a marquee game and a perfect example of what we've seen all season. Once the Texans realized, hey, we don't actually have to run the ball. We can just throw the ball a ton, and they did. Amani Oruwari looked bad. Desmond Trufant left with an injury. I don't know who the hell else was out there, but Deshaun Watson just blitzkrieged the Lions' defense, and we got what we got.
I don't even agree with you on the first half. I completely quibble with you is that, okay, they were putting up numbers, but guess what? Like, they were getting just bone crushed. And I know you want to say, hey, it's just the turnovers, but that kind of just belied a fact they just couldn't really protect the football at all, really, to start here. And it just, the Texans not only capitalized on everything, but I mean, the Texans were bad too in this game. Like, yeah. I know I had someone threatening to put me on old freezing cold takes because I said Deshaun Watson probably isn't good because he didn't have two good, you know, first starts to this game here. And I will hold by that. However, by halftime, this game was over. I can't take this game in a vacuum and say, okay, they were only down 9 points. We've seen teams come back from that. We have to take the full body of work. The Lions have never come back from that many points down right now. I don't think I'm going to say that they give up, but there's no other explanation for it. Peterson had a lot of good had a lot of yardage on the run. He had some longs, but his average was still garbo. Kerryon Johnson, they seemed like allergic from using Kerryon Johnson. And I was complaining about it right up until Kerryon Johnson fumbled the football. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Once again, no real passing leader over 100 yards here. There's nothing really that I look at this game and say, yeah, there was at any point did the Lions look like they belonged in the same game as the Texans, except for maybe the first two drives. But then after that, I can't say I give that to them because those fall apart so quickly, Jeremy. Like, and I see our Twitch chat right now. They're asking, but two things are happening with our Twitch chat. One, there's a hype train going on. I'm not going to explain that to the podcasters what that is. Two, there's some people who've been asking us what we think about the coaching talk. There's a reason why we're not going to do too much coaching talk here, because again, I don't know what's going to happen between the time we publish this thing and when we're recording.
Right, here's what we can say. That performance today, combined with everything that's happened this season, was enough to get this coaching staff fired. I don't know if it will.
If it happens, yeah.
It might happen. Like you said, it might happen literally by the time we're done with this podcast. They deserve it. They have fully earned it at this point. I don't think there's anyone that can defend the product there on the field. You can only blame injuries.
There's no progress.
There's no progress. I mean, here's the thing. In the last four losses, you know, they've lost four out of five. In those last four losses, none of them have been close. None of them outscored 136-66 in four games. That's 70 points in four games.
As the season has gone on,
I wonder what it's like to have a competent team.
You can tell when a team is like just not really putting it together and they're almost getting it there. This team has been getting worse and worse. I talked about last week, guys not knowing what to do in coverage. Like you can say there were a few things where they're getting bit hard on play action. But then there's some points where Orwarie is out there and
just getting beat. He's just getting beat. They're just not good enough. No one is good enough.
This team needs some, everyone on this team needs rehabilitation once Patricia is gone, because I don't know, because this has been the struggle we've had, Jeremy, as we talk about coaching and player talent here, is that these guys out on the field, it can't be just scheme. It must be something they're getting taught, just because no one seems to know what they're doing at any phase of the game.
I mean,
and it's unbelievable. And this is a game. If you haven't seen it, Sheila Fordhamp was in the press box holding her head, watching as the Lions got a 40 burger put on them. I know she probably wasn't, maybe she was doing that just for the cameras. I don't know. Either way,
she wasn't doing it for the cameras. I mean,
no, but there's so much going wrong here. And you've got to, again, can't take it in a vacuum. You've got to combine it with the Panthers loss, the first shutout since 2009. You got to combine it with the Colts loss. You got to combine it with the Vikings loss. Congratulations, you barely held on to beat the Washington football team. This is a fireable stretch. You can't look at this and say that Jim Caldwell deserved to be fired at 9-7. But at this point, at 4-7, after 3 years of this crap, that Matt Patricia, for whatever reason, gets to hang on.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that this team is in a worse spot than when Jim Caldwell was here, because Jim Caldwell beat these kind of teams all the time. He couldn't beat the really good teams, but he consistently beat the bad teams. And I mean, last 2 weeks, Carolina Panthers, Houston Texans, two of the worst teams in the NFL, 20-0, 41-25. That's it. Game over. You're done. You are now officially one of the worst teams in the NFL. This team could very well lose the last seven games in a row. This team could very well be picking in the top five. And Sheila Ford, I mean, at this point, I wrote it in my takeaways. I'm usually not the guy that's like, fire a guy mid-season. But at this point, I need to see Sheila Ford Hamp. I need to see her not only, chop some heads off the chopping block. I need to actually see her. And I need to actually hear from her, because this franchise is in such a bad spot where fans, media, whoever, they need to know that someone is overwatching this and someone is going to take responsibility for what's going to happen and someone's going to change something, because we're at an all-time low, but we are pretty damn close to 2018 low right now. That's how bad it is.
Former players are once again stunting on the Lions here too. Reggie Bush out here talking about the Lions directly. Darius Slay retweeting him. And a bunch of other things talking about how bad this team is. Everyone has the knives out for this team, and it's deserved at this point. You can't be Detroit versus everybody on this, because this team is just so damn bad that there's no again, like I feel like a broken record when I talk about kind of the differences between how we judge Paul Bunn and how we are judging Archer right now. But I think even that's like every voice I've seen says there's no reason for this guy to be coaching this team right now. And he can go out there and talk about how we've got to play, how, you know, we've got to play better. I've got to coach better. Cool. But he has, as the Catholic priest, deeds, not words. Your words don't mean bleep. I see what you're putting on the field. Everyone sees what you're putting on the field right now, man. You can say all you want about how you can own up all you want. You can take responsibility all you want. But the ultimate responsibility is that maybe you're not the man for this job. I'm sorry.
I mean,
I'm not really sorry. This is awful.
No.
This team has added some time. This team has been set back a generation.
And Ken, I'm sorry. Our chat's going crazy because we're getting a ton of gifted subs. But I don't care what Matt Patricia says at this point. He can't say anything that'll make me happy. He can't make anything that's going to upset me because he says the same thing every week, and I don't care. I think press conferences are mostly a waste of everyone's time. But I think this game was just like a perfect example of why he's never going to change, why he's never going to improve, why the Lions are never going to improve under him. Who would have expected the Lions to come out and run it twice with Adrian Peterson to start the game? Who would have expected the Lions to punt from Texans territory twice in the first half? Who would have predicted them to not go for it on 4th-and-3 and kick a field goal? Who would have predicted that the Lions come out of the second half and run the ball 10 straight times to burn 8 minutes off the clock in a game you're losing 2 possessions? And then at the end of that possession, what do? You ham it in. You say, you know what? A field goal is good enough. Yeah, we're going to win this game kicking field goals. That's who Matt Patricia is. The end of the first half was an embarrassment. Their 2-minute drive was an embarrassment. They ran all the time off the clock and then didn't convert again on a 3rd and short and decided, again, let's punt it away because who cares? We'll win this game with our defense that has been horrible all season long. What do you do? I mean, it's insanity seeing him continue to make the same mistakes week in, week out, and say, you know what, if we just performed better, if you know, I got to coach it better, or maybe you learn from your actual mistakes and don't be like, you know what, I can coach this, I can fix these problems Monday through Friday. I don't need to play differently. I don't need to be different on Sundays. I'm just gonna be better Monday through Friday.
Maybe do something different.
Yeah,
that would help. Maybe. besides trying, saying you got to coach better, you think if you just keep doing the same thing but do it just a little bit better, then it'll work. No, you got to be flexible. And this coaching staff has proven you once and for all. That's not, they don't know what that is. Like, bleep you. This square peg is going in the round hole if we have to slam it enough times until it turns into a square. Unfortunately for you, the time it's going to take you to turn that round hole into a square is more than 16 games. It's more than apparently 48,
almost 48 games.
64 games or whatever. Yeah. You're out of time. I'm tired of watching this, man.
Yep.
I hate to say this because, like, as I said in my don't take the Lions seriously, they're not a serious team thing, someone was asking me why I still watch, and I say I'm intellectually curious, but, like, man, the last 4, 5, 6, 7 podcasts, I felt like we're broken records.
What's left to talk about? I mean, you want me to talk about how I was kind of right about Amani Oruwariye and everyone kind of hyping him up a little too much because he's not that good? I don't take pleasure in the fact that I was right about that. And maybe he was dealing with a back injury this week, and maybe that had some sort of impact in this game. But this Lions secondary is trash. And when everyone else around him is playing like trash, suddenly he looks pretty good. And he did play well last week.
Are we going to fight about Adrian Peterson and Kerryon Johnson again? I'm kind of tired of that. Right. Even me looking at, like, frustrated watching, why don't they give Kerryon Johnson the football, only for him to immediately reward me with fumbling it and then spending the rest of the day doing, like, average 4.2 yards per carry, which, I mean, that's decent, but...
Hey, but you know what? You know what, Chris? The Lions stopped the run. We win!
Yeah, stop the run. I don't even know who. Duke Johnson. Hooray.
77 total yards from the Texans on the ground. 3.3 a carry. We stopped the run. That's all we need to do.
You stopped the world beaters Duke Johnson and CJ Procise. By the way, CJ Procise had a touchdown. Just through the air, but it wasn't on the run. So That matters. That matters. Also, an improvement didn't punt until there was about 6 minutes left in the second quarter.
I think that's what happens. I think that's what happens when you turn the ball over three times before.
Jeremy, they didn't punt until 6 minutes left in the second quarter. That's all that matters. Okay.
Okay. Oh, okay. So their strategy is to take their best player off the field and not punt.
Great. Where did that punt come in the second quarter? Was that from their own territory or
probably? Who knows?
I can't remember.
I've already expelled this game from my memory because in the end, we're not going to remember this game at all. I don't care if it was a Thanksgiving game. I don't know if it's the one. I don't care if it's the one before Matt Patricia got fired. And I feel like at this point, it probably is. It's a nothing
it's
game.
It's a hate.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the last month has been the same shit over and over again. And listen, I'm at a point where like I am emotionally removed from this. You can tell like I'm not as pissed off as I was the last couple of weeks. Because at this point, it's just like, well, I know what's going
to
happen
on
Sundays. I know what's going
to
happen on Thursdays. I know at some point we're going to hit this big change. And that's when things get exciting/terrifying.
I've been measuring this game against 2012 the entire time when the Lions last played the Texans on Thanksgiving. And at least when Jim Schwartz's teams were like imploding, there was something interesting at least in how they imploded. This is just bad football. Yeah. It's bad, bad, bad football. It's not the Lions finding new avenues in futility and self-destruction. It's just literally they don't know how to play football.
Simple as that.
Yep, simple as that. All right, let's take a quick break. On the other side, maybe dive a little bit more into this and try to guesstimate what's going to happen with Patricia. I don't want to do it too much, but if Patricia gets fired / doesn't get fired, we're going to still tell you the reasons why he should be fired or was fired or will be fired or any other quantum moment in firing of Matt Patricia. Stick around. We'll be right back on the Friday Detroit POD cast. And welcome back to the Pride of Detroit POD cast, making this a short one on Thanksgiving / Black Friday / whatever it is for you, because we are international. We're not always just for the Americans with their Thanksgiving and their turkey birds and cranberries. And yeah, I don't even know where I was going there. Anyway, Jeremy, we still do not, as of the moment of this recording, which is 1:50 p.m. on the West Coast, 4:50 p.m. on the East, 11:26 Thanksgiving Thursday, we do not have news on whether or not Patricia is fired. But we're moving forward on the assumption that he will at some point be fired, which honestly, if you think about it, is true. In the quantum reality, at some point in any timeline that we have, Patricia is being fired unless he has been made like the God Emperor of Detroit or something, which isn't going to happen in this timeline. It's not. I can at least put money on that. So let's talk about why he should / will be fired.
Where to start?
This regime ultimately went wrong and how we feel that way. And where our evidence is in at least this season of Detroit Lions football.
For me, it's two basic points that I think he failed on that really destroyed the team from the get-go. The first being, of course, and we've talked about it plenty of times before, his kind of authoritarian leadership type, which ostracized plenty of people in that first year. You know, we talked a little bit about the Bleacher Report article that went out. It ostracized a lot of his best players, a lot of the team leaders of this team, in an effort to enrich the culture. And I get why some people bought into it at first. You know, the Lions have never been taken seriously. They're a team that, you know, they had a players coach, a guy who didn't hold people accountable. That's the thing that we used to say under Jim Caldwell. He wasn't holding his players accountable. And so you get this hard-nosed coach. He blows up everything and gets rid of a bunch of players, ostracizes them on the way out, loses the locker room essentially in that first year. Then his way to build a culture is to get a bunch of yes men who already liked his coaching style, already knew what they were in for. The problem with that, though, is that when he did that, he brought in a bunch of lesser talent. This team is by far less talented than they were in 2017. The team that he inherited, much better than the one he built. And it's because he's limited himself to these kind of role player guys who are yes men, who know exactly what to say, who are all about just following orders, won't, make headlines with quotes and things like that. You really limit your talent pool when you do something like that. And so that's what happened there. The second big point that I think Matt Patricia has failed is just his old school attitude for the football game. The game of football. He wants to run the ball. He wants to stop the run. Yeah, he's got a franchise quarterback. Yes, he has a Pro Bowl wide receiver. But he'd rather do exactly what he did in the first drive of the second half here. Run the ball 10 straight times. That is how Matt Patricia wants football to be played. Unfortunately, he's about three decades too late for that kind of football to succeed. And so conservative play style, I mean, you saw what the Texans did in this game. They were up three scores and they were still throwing the ball because that's where the defense was vulnerable for the Lions. Detroit doesn't care where you're vulnerable. They just want to do their game plan. And so because of the conservative nature of Matt Patricia, because he's an authoritarian type that lost the locker room and lost a bunch of talent, this team is where they are, and he deserves what's coming to him.
I'm not going to make mine as long there. I will say that in the end, it comes down to several things. I mean, we can talk about his arrogance all you want, but I think we all know, Jeremy, you can be just whatever you want as long as you get guys to buy in. But guys didn't buy in. No matter what, you could be a joker or a hard ass. Guys didn't buy in. And that's not the fault of those players. That's the fault of you, the coach. God, people love blaming the players for that kind of crap. But no, you're the coach. You have to be the one to get the guys to buy in, or else you're just not. Leadership is not people blindly follow you because you're the leader. Leadership is getting people to be convinced that you are worth following. I'm an anarchist at heart. I have very high standards before I follow literally anyone. I could tell you from the start, Patricia was not going to be a person that I would ever bleeping follow for any reason whatsoever. The guy just doesn't have it. And for more solid reasons, I've talked about how much I dislike Jim Caldwell's hiring. What I think damned Caldwell most of all was some of the people that Caldwell surrounded himself with. He did not hire good coaching staffs. That's just what it was at the end of the day. He hired Joe Lombardi, Jim Bob Cooter as his offensive coordinators. Terrell Austin was decent as a defensive coordinator. But then you'd see it where he just like a guy like Randy Edsall would get fired from Maryland. And because he was Caldwell's old buddy, he'd be picked up to do like special projects. Al Golden, fired from Miami, becomes the tight ends coach.
Ron Prince is maybe the biggest mistake he made is holding on to him as an offensive line coach. And he was not well liked. And obviously not very good at his job.
No. And I could have told you that because he was probably the worst guy to have ever coached at Kansas State. Like from the college ranks, everyone knew Ron Prince was bad news. And yet for some reason, he's getting a job coaching in the NFL, even if it's just for a position. However, we have kind of the shades of that here with Matt Patricia in that, I'm sorry, Daryl Bevel is not good at his job either. Like this is a terrible offensive scheme that does not work for any of the strengths this Lions team has. And to be honest, as much as you were talking about Patricia not playing football in the 21st century, Daryl Bevel, for whatever reason, is probably facilitating that.
100%.
And whatever it is going on with the defense, I mean, we're kind of just shrugging off the defense of being bad what it is. But like both on the coordinator side with who he's hired, and on his own side, like this is supposed to be your bread and butter. And the defense it's just atrocious, man. Like results out here. I don't know if it's just, you can talk whether it's the talent And I think part of this too is we're going to talk eventually. I think people have been worrying, saying, oh, it doesn't matter if you fire Matt Patricia, if Bob Quinn's still a general manager. Don't worry. They're a package deal. They're a package deal at the end of the day.
They have to be.
They have to be. And a lot of that is the talent that is hired by Bob Quinn, been drafted and signed by Bob Quinn, becomes the problem for the defense, but also the scheme isn't working either. All these other teams have been able to revolutionize their defense and because defensive powerhouses in the NFL, while the Lions have been floundering, be it the Chicago Bears, be it the Tennessee Titans, be it the San Francisco 49ers, we have seen teams do exactly what the Lions have wanted to do across the board while the Lions have floundered in hell. There's no reason that you have been this bad, struggling this long. And it's like, again, famous last words for Bob Quinn about, 9-7, you want to improve upon that. And I think that's true for a lot of Lions fans too, that they just, look, man, we all got greedy. We all got greedy. Even when we were sitting here talking about why Caldwell deserved to be fired, everyone got greedy. They saw 9-7. They saw 10-6. They saw first round exits from the playoffs and thought, oh yeah, we're almost there. We could just need to push a little bit more. But to do that, we need to make massive changes. And I think at the end of the day, massive change was bad. And that's what it was. Like the Lions thought they were just a coach away. And it turned out that they were a coach away from disaster. They were a coach away from being just immediately annihilated, blown into the freaking sun. And that's where we're at here. Like, yeah. The whole thing collapsed it's the Tower of Babel. It's hubris.
And I mean, at the end of the day, I am still kind of the vein that maybe moving on from Caldwell was the right move, but Patricia was obviously not the right hire. And it's because of the way he went about it. And we talked a little bit about this when Patricia's quote about, this team had a lot of work when there was a lot of work to do when I came over. Well, yes, but you decided to just bomb it instead of build upon what the Lions had. He had no interest in taking over a mediocre team. He wanted to build from the ground up. And that's where the mistake was made from the get-go, because that team did not need to be, exhumed from its roots. It needed to just be built upon it. It just needed someone who could see what the Lions had and build upon that and not just be like, hey, what I see right in front of me isn't what I want at all. Let's throw it all away and start anew. That's where the mistake was made.
Yeah, I just don't think the Lions, even with the right coach, were that close either.
Maybe.
Because there were other teams who were nowhere near as close to the Lions either in that time, who were more making the playoff at a good clip. It's just that the Lions played in a tough division. They played against tough teams. They played tough schedules. And at the end of the day, like, maybe they were good. Maybe they just were never good to take that next step in the playoffs. I have a lot of questions about that. And I think that goes to more painful conversations we have to have about guys like, Matthew Stafford or some of the core pieces of the defense before they were all thrown out of a window by Matt Patricia. Or the fact that the Lions have completely struggled to be a run game. It's not that it comes back to the Lions. This is the difference between us, I talk about this, and someone who pathologizes and says stuff like same old Lions. Because I don't see this as a result of the fact that they have the Lions on the front of the name. It's bizarre that it's happened for this long with all of the gifts that the NFL has given to the Lions, but it's not like they haven't had chances here.
Right.
It is very much so feels like that the Lions at the end of the day were in the same boat as the Bengals in the 2010s. Because the Bengals were doing the same thing. They were making the playoffs. They were putting together decent enough teams with a probably second, maybe third tier quarterback, depending on how you want to view Andy Dalton. I thought near the height of his powers, he was like probably second tier. They had a decent defense. And whoop, doesn't matter at the end of the day. Can't bring home the bacon. Your fate won't change. And it's tough, man. It's tough to be in that spot in the NFL because it feels like you're in hell. You're in limbo because you're not getting rewarded for sucking. And nor are you getting rewarded for going deep into the playoffs or building upon that. It's what it was. And unfortunately, Patricia's now swung that out of that out of that kind of continuum right into an even worse place, which is hell. Nothing works. Nothing works now. It's not that, hey, the Lions are losing because of weird, uncanny rules and kind of last minute screw ups or anything. It's just, they're just losing because they suck and a team is putting 40 on you.
Yeah. So I think we should talk about Sheila before we close out here and what we need to see here, whatever from her. Because she's now in the spotlight. And I, you know, I ran a poll on Pride of Detroit earlier in the week asking fans, do you trust Sheila Ford Hamp? And they answered with an absolutely resounding, absolutely not. 67% said no. Only 7% said yes. 26% said undecided. So let me ask you this. We'll ask the chat as well. What do you need to hear? What do you need to see? What does she need to do to instill any sort of confidence going into 2021?
Honestly, if you're asking me as a fan, there's nothing she can do. Like, whoever you hire next is going to have to rebuild at this point. And look, I'm not going to bash her because she's a Ford or whatever. Some people have really gotten down this path again of it's the Fords. You can't prove that to me. That's impossible. And as much as maybe that's true, maybe that is absolutely true. Maybe the Ford family just, they don't care. It's a cash cow, but guess what? It's part of the reality of it. And you kind of have to work against it. And guess what? We've seen teams who have been good with crappy owners in the past, who have somehow defied the name, the ownership in their apathy or their own meddling and become good. It doesn't really, changing the owner won't fix or change your fate just because, like, because what's the owner going to do? They're just going to want it more. They're going to fire people more often. No, that's not what's going to happen. They're just going to sit back there in the boxes. They're going to make faces and they'll give you some, the owner in the NFL is Vince McMahon. Like, they don't have any actual power. Like, actually, that's not a good comparison. Vince has power.
I got a four-step plan.
Oh, no.
To build but confidence in me. Go ahead. Finish your point.
My point at the end is just, there's nothing you can do. Like, at this point, it is literally, you need whoever you have next is winning. It needs to win games and hire good talent and draft good talent. And honestly, before, like, we can sit here and we'll talk, and we'll digest it, and we'll talk about why it's a good draft or why this is a good coaching hire or why it's a bad coaching hire, why they missed in the draft. But at the end of the day, for my fan side, nothing will change until this team actually shows on the field with wins that they are serious.
Right. Here's what I need from Sheila. Number one with a bullet is show up. Do something. Show your face. Make a Zoom call. Even a written statement would be okay. It'd be my least preferable, but you need to show up this weekend. No excuses. I don't care. I don't care if you're not even announcing firings. I need to hear from you right now. I'm sick of this product. I'm sick of waiting. I'm sick of just being in limbo for the final 2 months of every season. I need to hear what is going on in your head right now. Face, you know, I know picture screams a thousand words and your head in your hands. I know you're not happy, but I need to hear. Number two, fire Patricia and Quinn. They got to go. I don't care if it's now. I don't care if it's the end of the season. They got to go. They're a package deal. They don't have any talent here that they can formulate whatever Matt Patricia is trying to do here. And I think we've seen by now Matt Patricia isn't able to take a low amount of talent and take them anywhere, which means he's a bad coach, period. So they're both gone. Number three, you either give Rod Wood a demotion or you fire him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm sorry, I do not want a non-football guy as the team president. That was a bad look from the beginning. One of his first moves was to alienate one of the best players this team has ever seen. And since then, he's slowly been crawling his way into more and more football decisions. I don't want a guy like him judging whether the Lions are going to, who the Lions are going to hire as their next head coach. I don't want him in on the interview for the next general manager. He's not a football guy. Get him out of here. I'm sorry. If you want to be a business guy, stay on the business side. That's fine. Take your demotion. You shouldn't be president. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, just keep going. I'll just fix it later.
Number four, hire a football consultant. Hire someone full-time. I want someone, basically a team president that knows football, that knows what they're doing. I don't know what Sheila Fordhamp knows about being an owner, about hiring and firing and football. I need someone there that can make me at least feel a little bit better about the decision-making that's happening at the top. Because again, I don't mistrust Sheila Ford, but I don't trust her yet. And so to me, I need someone up there working with her that I can trust. Either a name that I'm familiar with, or a guy with a resume, or one with a resume that is impressive enough where I can be like, okay, well, at least there's someone at the top now that knows how to build a winner, knows how the system works. And if Sheila Ford can do all of that in a week, she's not only the owner, I'm building a statue of her right next to the big fist.
No, because I we've been duped by this before. And like, I hate to do this, but like, in this particular thing, like, for me, what it comes down to in the end is like, we've done this before. We all thought that, because the thing is that the logical move is what brought the Lions to this point. Everyone, we talked about this before, the smartest people in the room were saying, you want Matt Patricia. He's the guy. He knows defense in this league. He will be the one to take the Lions to the next step. You have smart people telling you all this stuff. We're going to be smart about it and everything. Look where it's got you. It got you to the same damn place as where it was when you were hiring Matt Millen. Meanwhile, the Raiders hired both a coach and a general manager from television, and they are kicking ass.
That's a good point. We don't know shit.
Not working.
But that's my point, is like, we don't know shit, which is why I want someone who knows shit next to the Fords. Because, I mean, as much as
Ernie Accorsi knew shit, sure, too, is my point.
But he's also kind of an old mind. Like, get someone new, get someone fresh in there.
Okay. I guess. But at the end of the day, like, it could be a new guy just coming to that same problem, too. I don't think suddenly, like, going Silicon Valley is going to resolve this either. Like, there's no proof of that. There's nothing that is guaranteed, which is kind of the problem here too for the Lions, is that nothing's guaranteed. But at the same time too, just, I don't know, man. Like, I everyone is in this spot where they're like, hey, this, everything here didn't work for various reasons. I don't know if taking the young guy will work, because we're seeing a lot of the young guys not panning out either among coaches. So I don't know. I'm resistant to it. And at this point, I hate to do it because I feel like the stick in the mud. But again, I have to say, I don't know. I've give me some wins, right, and then we will talk.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right there. I think we don't know. We won't know if the Lions made any good decisions until we see product on the field. And that's what's so frustrating and terrifying from the position we're in right now, is because, yes, it does seem like the Lions are finally going to get over this hump, pull themselves out of whatever, you know, sinkhole that Matt Patricia has put them in. But we don't know when we peer our heads out of whatever that is, we don't know what we're going to see. It might just be another crater. And that's why I hate this.
And the other problem too, as might be pointed out too, is like, because I see some people in chat saying you want to build around Stafford. I don't think you're getting much more out of him at this point too. Like, as you've said before, like, as you've kind of despaired about, we're kind of heading to this point where it's like, yeah, no, everything's kind of blowing up here very, very soon in very, very bad ways.
Yeah. I mean, if Stafford's going to be around with the next regime, it's probably not going to be for long. It's probably going to be towards the end of his contract, which is 3 years at the most. And do you think this team can get turned around in 3 years?
It's not even that, too. It's like, how good really is he, as he's going to be on the decline soon enough?
We'll see.
I don't know, man.
Chris,
I think, yeah.
I was going to just try to close this up and ask you if there's anything you're thankful for. Let's, in the spirit of the holiday, let's try to end this on something positive.
Well, I'm not thankful for the gut and the bacteria in my gut right now, as always. I am thankful for, I usually do these threads on Thanksgiving for thankfulness. I don't know if I'll do one this year, just because, like, 2020? I'll probably be asleep. No, I'll be asleep because I've got to work tonight. So I'm thankful at least that I still have work and have a job right now, as much as it's kind of like literally killing my body to do it. thankful we can still do these things. I kind of feel like I haven't been contributing much this year. I'm thankful we've got the podcast back that I thought I was going to be out of my ass for the entire year because of the California law stuff. We managed to make it work. I like that we've got our Twitch chat here has been growing and blowing up in really big ways. I keep telling myself I am going to be doing my own Twitch streaming at some point. I just get caught up with everything, but I think tomorrow is going to be the day, but we'll see. I've promised our friends over at Battle Red Blog, I'll go and join them to yuck up about how bad things have gotten. And who knows, maybe Patricia will be fired. And I'm thankful for Jack Falk.
There you go. He did kick a kickoff out of bounds, too. But we'll forgive him. Everyone has their faults.
I'm thankful for you, except the mustache.
Thank you. Yeah, and I want to also kind of express some of that especially to our audience here. I'm extremely thankful for you guys. You do make this a lot of fun, especially our live audience here on Twitch and YouTube. We get fiery sometimes. Sometimes I fire back at you. I fired back at someone on Twitter that I probably shouldn't have because they were blaming me for an opinion that I didn't even have. But I think part of the reason we're also fiery and angry and emotional is because we care so damn much about this team. And I can't even imagine how there's a fan base that of a team that's been so bad for so long that can have that kind of emotional reaction to a team year after year, week after week, game after game, when we're seeing the same kind of stuff happen and you still get pissed off. That's a sign of a really awesome fan base. And as much as I spar with you guys sometimes, I am eternally grateful for you guys because you keep me employed, you keep me sane, you keep me entertained. And so what little I can give back to you doesn't even feel like as much as you guys give back to us. So for you guys listening on our podcast, for you guys watching live, thank you. And sincere thank you for letting me be able to do this.
Yeah. Think that's where it's at. All right. Bird times. We got to go smoke some birds and not just drugs, but actual birds too. Thank you all for watching and listening. And as always, we will see you Starside.